Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio. It's a real pleasure to have you here. It's also a pleasure to have Emmanuel Joseph Ahala back on our show, biomedical researcher and principal investigator on a relentless quest to resolve some of the scariest diseases of our times, which includes cancer, diabetes, HIV, Ebola, Zika, and especially COVID-19. Some of these quests began when a person near and dear to him was stricken by a particular disorder and he wanted to get to its root cause, such as frontal temporal dementia and breast cancer. He was born in Nigeria and came to the United States to attend university, and it's been amazing. His studies then advanced. He has a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry and also a Master of Science in Chemistry, and is a candidate for his PhD. He was also invited in the middle of his studies to attend medical schools for podiatry and has worked as a professor, surgical technician, a research scientist. He's a member of the American Association for the Advancement of Chemistry, the American Chemical Society, and the New York Medical Association, and was featured in multiple Who's Who editions. He has many more years of experience and other research scientific experiences, and also this has enabled him to get to where he is today. He certainly is a scientist in eminent standing, and while employed full-time in the daytime, it is the night work in his own private company that has the most significance. One study that he's heavily involved is silencing the COVID-19 pathway through a set of glycoproteins derived from the immune system's dual mediochronicle and endosomal compartments. And in plain language, this means he knows that sugar metabolism is chemically related to breaking down the virus itself, and a potential cure may be a substance close to insulin. He will discuss this in further detail along with other issues surrounding COVID-19. I am very honored to welcome him back, live and direct from New York City, renowned research scientist, Emmanuel J. Ahala. Emmanuel, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
And thank you, Jim, for being honored.
How have you been since we chatted last?
Since we chatted last, I've been doing well, and I've been talking to people who had the show, and all the comments were positive, and I'm glad to be back.
That is fantastic. I can't wait to have this amazing conversation, and I've been looking forward to chatting with you about all of this. Maybe we can also refresh the memory of our audience and talk specifically about some of the incredible things, too, that you've been working on, which I think is also revolutionary, and you really are on so many different levels on the cutting edge, which I think is absolutely incredible. So we're celebrating that today. It's really fantastic, too, in reference to the known symptoms. And this is what we're talking about. Besides known symptoms, what are some of the additional dangers surrounding COVID-19?
Okay, COVID-19 has been around for a while and kind of slowed down for this period. But unfortunately, COVID-19 is not gone yet. We still know that COVID-19 mutates. It's an RNA virus. Being an RNA virus, he has other reservoirs. When a virus like COVID-19 have reservoirs like birds, the pigeons, other animals, it's not going to go away. So we need to prepare ourselves this time. The first time around, we were not very well prepared. But this time, we've known so much about COVID-19, and we can reduce the number of casualties. So I'm here today to share with us some of those things that we might have to prepare so that what happened the first time will not happen again. Because COVID-19, unlike other viruses, has a reservoir, and those reservoirs, we kept them to mute it and come back in another format or in another way, and then we don't want to be caught in the same way it happened the first time. During the last meeting that I have in here, I spoke about breast cancer, but I'm going to start today with COVID-19. What I'm working on regarding COVID-19, in order to defeat the show, is to make sure I was able to approach the RBD. The RBD is very critical. It's from the spike protein. And inside the RBD, we have the RBM. The RBM is what connects the virus to human, which is ACE2. In an attempt to cut the barrier or to disturb the constant, is to create a conformational blockage. We need to break the contact between the virus and human cells. And the way I was able to do that is to do it through the cis and trans malformation conformation, wherein the virus cannot recognize the ACE2 and the DPP4, which is the main contact to get access into the human. There's a ridge in between RBM. Now, remember, I said the RBM is inside the RBD, and which it itself is in the spike protein. The RBM ridge, if you can disturb the conformation thermodynamic principle of that area, what happens now is that the N-terminal helix will not be able to contact the human ACE2, and the binding will not happen. And each time there's a disturbance, it is that you can trigger the caspase-3, and the virus will die. The second method which I'm working on is the intrinsic. I say intrinsic because we cannot go from the surface into the cells that is producing all the problem here, the virus. COVID-19 virus can be approached from the intrinsic pathway, wherein the ACE2, whether intra or intercellular deletion, can happen because we have LRRC15. It's also a receptor, and it can inactivate or destroy the ACE2 intra. In another word, through the able or through the capability of soluble ACE2, which is the main entry gate or what this virus used to enter the healthy cells. And consequently, if we do not allow this to happen, we can use soluble ACE2. Soluble ACE2 works against ACE2 itself, which is the main means by which it invades human cells. But we could do that from the inside. And this will happen at SB1 unit at the C terminus. In another word, we have a natural way to defeat the COVID-19 itself inside us through LRRC15. It's so natural, and they are more or less like neighbors, side by side, at the spike protein, especially subunit 1 at the C terminal. We can easily allow them to engage each other, and then we'll be able to defeat the COVID-19. Another way that we are doing it here is that we have different receptors by which we can engage with COVID-19 from the inside in order to defeat its pathway. And then the other way that we are looking at is the glycoprotein on the surface of the COVID-19 itself. Unfortunately, there is something that is going on here. Among all the coronaviruses, COV2, which is the COV19 here, has some missing shielding glycan. The shielding glycan is very critical in the pathogenesis of viruses because it shields some critical area of the of the virus. But we have some missing children glaucon with COVID-19, unfortunately. And we find it difficult to identify what the identity is or to find out what damages they can do to the cells. As soon as we're able to know the identity, it will be able to see what is missing with your COVID-19 compared to other viruses in its own group. And then we know that COVID-19 have very limited means of living by themselves. They all depend on humans. One of the things that they don't have the capability to make their own energy. So the mitochondria is very important. It's one of my targets. When we can separate or we can delete COVID-19 from having contact with mitochondria, there will be no source of energy. When the source of energy doesn't go there, the COVID-19 will die. Now, I have some questions in here which I was given, and I'm going to go by that. Question two of that is, what are some of the additional dangers surrounding COVID-19? One of them is the blood-brain barrier. The virus can cross the blood-brain barrier, and if that happens that way, there's a reduction in the gray matter thickness and in the area of the brain that is linked to smell and memory. And that is why one of the symptoms of COVID-19 is loss of smell and taste, because as soon as the virus crosses the BBB, which is the blood-brain barrier, it affects the brain. At those areas, we have symptoms like orbitofrontal cortex and the parahippocampal gyrus and olfactory cortex are affected. Once this area is affected, we're going to have loss of smell, and then we're definitely going to have loss of taste. So in another and not only that, when the COVID-19 crosses the blood-brain barrier, it results in psychiatric issues. And most of them have some symptoms that make people to have neurological problems. As far as because the virus was able to cross the barrier. The barrier was blood-brain barrier. And then the second question that I have here is that, why is it some people are so susceptible to COVID-19, while some other group are not susceptible to COVID-19? Okay, this is what happened now. We have blood type. People with blood type O are lucky or luckier, because once infected with COVID-19, then you can survive intensive care unit. But people with blood type A are not so lucky. And we begin to investigate why this is so. In another word, we look at blood type to be very significant when a patient is admitted to the hospital. And in most cases, people in the intensive care unit with COVID-19, with blood type A, they are not so lucky. Now, nature is very funny. In the other way around, the people with type O blood, they are not very lucky when they go to country with cholera. But people with type A blood, they are so lucky they have some resistance over the cholera. And this blood type is helping us to know who can resist COVID-19 and to what extent. And then the question two I have here, the question two is about mutation. When we say mutation, there are different types of mutation. There is what we call phase shift mutation, and that is the most deadly and the most dangerous mutation with COVID-19, phase shift mutation, because the whole sequence is being replaced, and when the nucleotide is being replaced, it is not as simple to engage like point mutation. Point mutation is just dealing with single chain that is being altered. But the friendship mutation is so deadly. So now the question is, why is the mutation so rampant with COVID-19? Because it belongs to a group of RNA viruses. That's what they do. They mutate a lot. So in that case, is there a remedy for the mutation? Yes. Well, the scientists have come up with chlorophyll, and this inhibits the genomic replication of the COVID-19. And other people have different ways, because the real target here is the human ACE2 receptor, because once we felt that and we were able to manage the engage, not to engage that receptor with RBM motive. Because once they engage, then it's very hard to control COVID-19. But I was able to stay to make sure that the RBM do not engage the ACE2 receptor, which is for the human. And different ways we're able to do that is to alter the conformational thermodynamics. As long as you can alter the conformational parameter, there'll be no engagement between the RBM and the human ACE2. Now, in that case, we are able to make sure that the RBM can only engage with human ACE2 only if the conformational analysis is in place. If it is not interrupted, if it is not broken, and nothing happened to it. Otherwise, the engagement will be null. In other words, they will not be able to engage each other. Now, I have an hypothesis that the hypothesis that I have in here is that in other, the very time we are able to know the identity of the shielding glycan that is missing in COVID-19, we'll be able to cure or address the problem. And the only way we can do that is to find out what are the results of a missing shielding glycan in the absence of that compared to other viruses in the same group. And other viruses have that shield, but COVID-19 is the only species that is lacking in the shielding glycan. Shielding glycan is very important in the history of viruses. And then once we find that, we'll be able to know how to get rid of, find the therapy that will be able to restore the importance of the missing shielding glycan. Mutation is very important for the viruses. They use it for entry, they use it to hide, or they use it to enhance the infection. So it is critical that we are able to find these viruses. The next question I have here is that how do diabetes relate to COVID-19? This is an important question because the diabetes, most people that went into the intensive care that are diabetic, they are not very lucky. And the question is, how is that related to COVID-19? Okay, this is what happened here. The COVID-19 complicates diabetes pathway because it increases the glucose level, which is leading to oxidative stress and inflammation. Okay, when the ACE2 binds on the adrenal cells, it causes tissue damage. And then also it inhibits the lymphocyte proliferation and it causes hyperglycemia. When hyperglycemia happens, it impairs the immune system and it triggers stress. And in that case, the secretion of glucocorticoids and catecholamines is increased. An increase of glucocorticoids and catecholamines impair the immune system, and eventually it increases the infection. So we do not have uncontrollable glucose levels. Now, when you look at diabetes is solid, is deadly because it does not have the insulin. But again, now when it doesn't have the insulin, it could not break down the glucose, and the increased glucose is the one that really leads to the viral replication and the viral load. And it also causes vascular dysfunction. There has been discrepancies among the scientists that COVID-19 is vascular in nature. And this is where they come into effect. Because the diabetes and COVID-19, they have so many things in common. Insulin deficiency, hyperglycemia, high glucose, increased viral load, and it leads to stress, metabolic dysfunction, and impaired immune system. In this case, if we look at the diabetes, it's more like a blocker. It hinders the healing of COVID-19 because, why? The question, the answer is this. Diabetes disrupts TLR4 and NADH oxidase. It alters their level. And then the question is, what does TLR4 regulate? It regulates NFKB, This is the transcription factor that the COVID-19 needs to do its job. But now, diabetes have TLR4 that dysregulate that NF-kb, which is the transcription factor. And the consequences of that is that it does impair the secretion of innate and adaptive immune response. And these are the two things that we need that we can cure COVID-19. We need the innate immune system, and we also need the adaptive immune system. But the TLR4 from diabetes block or impair that, and we not allow that to happen. So here we have two things that we're looking for in curing the disease COVID-19, but it's been impaired. It's been blocked by COVID-19, by the diabetes TLR4. So now what do we do? Now, one of the ways that we're looking at this is that since what we are looking for is impaired, we have no choice but to make this article to make sure that we're able to cure diabetes first prior to curing COVID-19. Because without handling diabetes, we cannot get to our goal to be able to get the innate immune system or the adaptive immune system, which is being blocked by TLR4 from that regulates the NF-kb, the transcription factor from diabetes neuropathy. Then having both diabetes and COVID-19 needs immediate medical attention. Now, the next question I have here is that what is some of the research that have done because to investigate, okay, either what can be done or the remedy. The remedy we can do here is that if we do not remove the obstacle, we may not be able to activate the innate immune system or the adaptive immune system. So it is further advisable that we have the method to induce insulin. Once we induce the insulin, we'll be able to accomplish our goal. In other words, to treat COVID-19 with people with diabetic neuropathy. Now, the other question I have in front of me here, there'll be no clinical trial in my research, but we are following what we call the blueprint. The blueprint sets the stage on what to do next. But that blueprint, I do have it before going to clinical trial. And the question number six, which I have, is that what are the additional dangers surrounding the breast cancer? One additional danger surrounding breast cancer, one of them is genetics. Genetics. Here in number six, our major problem with breast cancer is a P53. P53 is mutated. And the P53, I was able to change the P53 to change it to C19MC chromosome. In another word, in order for us to fix P53 to repair or reverse the mutation, we indeed have to do that from the C19MC chromosome. And what's funny enough is that the Zika virus also have the same location from which it affects pregnant women, while it doesn't do so much damage to non-pregnant women. Because C19MC is responsible for the pathogenesis in Zika virus. So we can take one stone to kill two birds. The CM19 in the chromosome, we can use that to control both the Zika virus and breast cancer. In the breast cancer, we can use that to reverse the P53. So I have here another topic, which is nutrition. Nutrition is very common, and we all know definitely that processed food, processed meat, in general, do not support cancer in general. Not just breast cancer, but every cancer from the synthetic food. Because what happens is, each time we fry the food, each time we have temperature being increased, it causes what we know polysaccharide. And once you change the nature of the contents of the structure of this meat or what you're consuming, it helps the cancer to grow. So among the food that we have to eat, most people that cut down and they become vegetarians are giving cancer a boost to be overcome or to be, you know, to be cured. Why? Because tortured food is not encouraged. Then we have, I have a topic here regarding the holosphere. The last time I spoke about the holosphere, which is made of MYC protein. The MYC gene and the protein, they play a central role in emergence and development of almost all cancers. So my idea is that if you can tear down the wall, or you can impair the growth of the holosphere, MYC, the cancer, the breast cancer will die. Because the delicate and the precious area within the genome will be exposed. Once you're exposed, the breast cancer cannot make it. You have to succumb. The breast cancer will be destroyed because the genome is the critical element where all the transmission, communication, activity is taking place. But that is being protected by the holosphere, which is made of MYC protein, which I can easily destroy that by the cyst and the trans means malformation of the conformation. Because once there's a discrepancy within the formation of the protective device, there is no choice, cancer cell will die. Now, that is called a protective response. It exposes the genome, and then breast cancer will be history. Another question I have there is, what are your opinions regarding HIV? Well, I took HIV for more than a decade and a half. I'm able to come up with an hypothesis, and the hypothesis is that formation of an interleukin-6 soluble interleukin-6R complex that initiates the pro-inflammatory cancer, which is the major problem, can be silenced through means conformational analysis. Because the conformation is critical, is the key. Without appropriate conformation, we cannot form this stage. This stage will not exist. And this stage doesn't exist, then the HIV will not exist. And then I look at the major problem that we have is the cytokine storm in HIV. The cytokine storm can only be formed under an appropriate conformation. As long as you disturb the conformational platform, whatever be the end product of that will be disturbed, and that will be a way or a method in order not to have what is the goal of that HIV at the end of the day. Because there will be no cytokine sign, because the conformation has been disturbed, and there are elements that disturb the conformation. One of these is the appropriate ligand. If you bind the appropriate receptor with appropriate ligand and trigger through the law of thermodynamics, you will be able to disrupt or disbalance the conformation or have what you know as malformation. Once you have the malformation of the configuration, the HIV will be history. Another topic that I have in here is the Ebola. Ebola virus is prominent in some part of the world, and then you will be surprised that, for instance, in a place like Africa, vitamin D can kill Ebola virus. And unfortunately, because of the color of our skin, the sunshine cannot penetrate the skin due to melanin. And so the vitamin D is not being processed to defend the black race against Ebola. And so we encourage people to find a supplemental vitamin D that will reverse this virus. And you can see other viruses too that cause disease that can be cured by vitamin D. Food is very important when it comes to all these pathogens. And it was mentioned that as a requirement that what is my objection or what is my point about Zika virus. Zika virus was so predominant in the Northeast Brazil, but the Zika virus in Africa too. But the Zika virus in Africa, in Uganda, is not as fatal, whereas the one in Northeast Brazil is fatal. And the reason for that is due to epigenetic microarray. Because due to epigenetic microarray, there's an alteration. There's alteration in the phenotype of the alteration in this nutrition. Eventually, which doesn't sit well with the Zika virus, and it affects the women that are pregnant. Why? Because during the first 9 months of pregnancy, that is why everything goes wrong or everything is being established. But unfortunately for Zika virus, during that time, under the C19 MC chromosome, we are subjected to two things. One is the mutation of the P53, which is we later see during the lifetime in breast cancer. Two, we also see that the Zika virus at C19 MC do be the source or the origin of this pathogen. So if we intend to stop both of them, C19 MC is the target that we need to go to. And in doing this, then we look back again to see how there are different impressions about do this thing here that will be investigated. How does this affect or what is our preparation? Because I just make it clear that the Zika virus can be controlled in that way with the C19 MC, but the Ebola too can be controlled. Why? By inhibiting you for absorbing or metabolizing sugar. So what we do now is go to the endoplasmic reticulum. In the endoplasmic reticulum, that is where we have the dolichocholine phosphate. The dolichocholine phosphate is very significant that enables the Ebola virus to be able to mentalize or synthesize sugar. As long as that is disrupted, Ebola virus will die. Why? Because Ebola virus cannot survive without sugar. Sugar is very significant when it comes to Ebola pathogenesis. The topic that we also considering or bringing to your attention is the how does this have both friends or enemies? We do, in the case, some of the viruses that we are talking about do have some good part, and they also have the other side of the story, which is not compatible because of what we want them to do. But how can we bring this together? Well, in the case of HIV, we have to go through to use transmission pulsing. Transmission pulsing is very, very important when it comes to tackling HIV, because during the transition pulsing, we can take an advantage to investigate and activate the other opposite nutrients or other chemicals that is going to stop the life cycle of HIV virus. And they've tried it in some viruses, and it works. I have an hypothesis here concerning HIV. It says, cis and transformation of interleukin-6 and soluble interleukin-6 are complex as long as we can generate a misconformation. Definitely, we'll be able to activate caspase-3. If a virus in its pathway binds to caspase-3, death is inevitable. That virus will die. So it is very critical. Hello.
Yeah, we're past the half hour, actually. Way past. Just wanted to thank you for being on the show, Emmanuel. This is really such a fascinating topic. We'll have to have you come back because there's so much incredible information that you're sharing with us that is impactful and can be life-changing on so many levels. This was really a pleasure having you back with us on Close Up Radio. I'm just fascinated by everything that you're sharing with us in such an open and authentic way. We hope you'll have an opportunity to come back and chat with us again soon. It was a pleasure.
And thank you very much for being honored, Jim. You have a good day.
The pleasure is all ours. You keep up the extraordinary work. Our very special guest, research scientist Emmanuel J. Ahala, isn't he incredible? He absolutely is, and he's so passionate about the work, and we're passionate about sharing it with you on Close Up Radio. For all of us here, this is Jim Masters. Thanks for joining us. Have a terrific day, and thanks for listening. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.